Ever notice how people act like money and faith just don't mix? Like they're on totally different planets. Someone reached out wanting to really dig into that, specifically what Jesus himself had to say about money. So that's our deep dive today.
I like it.
We're going right to the source, the scriptures.
It's a question that's been around forever, hasn't it?
Right. And honestly, it feels even more complicated now than back then.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, like, it's easy to say money is the root of all evil,
Right.
but most of us kind of need it to,
Yeah, to
survive.
buy groceries, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, where's that line? What did Jesus actually say?
Well, one thing's for sure, he wasn't subtle about it. He made it
Oh.
very clear. You can't serve both God and money.
Ooh.
And he said it more than once in Matthew, in Luke. Clearly a big deal to him.
Okay, no playing both sides. But here's what's interesting to me, that statement. It's still relevant today, even if you're not religious, It's like that pull we all feel between what we want materially and what actually fulfills us, deep down.
That's a good point.
Were those the two masters he meant back then? Or was it more literal given how different things were?
It was a different world for sure. No stock market, no 401ks.
Right.
Wealth was land, animals, very tangible things.
So when people heard money, they pictured what? Like a field of sheep?
Exactly. Their livelihood right in front of them.
Wow.
So when Jesus talks about it, he's hitting them where it really matters, their deepest anxieties, their hopes for the future.
Man, that makes it so much more powerful. Not just some abstract sermon, but like tied to what they're touching, valuing, maybe even worshiping every day.
And that leads us to another key theme, Jesus' teachings on treasures.
Oh, right.
He contrasts treasures on earth, those that decay can be stolen, with treasures in heaven, the ones that last.
That's a powerful image. I remember those verses all about moths, crust, thieves. Like, he's urging us to think long term. Where are we investing our energy, our time, our money, if we had an eternal perspective?
Exactly. Today, those earthly treasures,
Yeah.
they might look like a bigger house, the fancy car, you name it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they bring temporary happiness, but do they really satisfy?
Whereas the heavenly investments, that's about something bigger than ourselves.
Exactly. Think about acts of service, relationships, growing spiritually. Those are things that truly endure.
It's interesting, though, those things don't exactly come with a financial return, do they? You can't put a price tag on kindness.
And yet, instinctively, we know their value, right?
That's so true. Makes you wonder, how much do those earthly treasures distract us from what really matters?
It's a question worth pondering, because if we're always chasing the next thing, the next possession, are we really free to pursue anything deeper?
It's making me think about those verses where Jesus talks about like radical generosity, selling everything you own,
Oh, yeah.
giving it to the poor.
Right. Passages like Mark 10:21, where he tells the rich young man to sell it all,
Yeah, those are the ones that make you gulp a little.
or Luke 14:33, giving up everything to follow him.
It's intense. Like, okay, I could donate that extra coat, but everything.
People get uncomfortable with those, but context is key. Jesus used hyperbole a lot, exaggeration to make a point.
So, not literally expecting everyone to become instantly homeless.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
about challenging our attachments. How tightly are we gripping those possessions? True security doesn't come from our bank accounts.
It's more about an internal shift than a specific action.
Yes. Aligning your heart with God's heart, one of generosity, compassion.
And that reminds me of the story of the widow's offering, right? It wasn't about the amount she gave, but her heart.
Exactly. Such a powerful story. Jesus is at the temple watching people give. You've got these wealthy folks making a show of their donations,
Right, putting on a whole production.
probably giving a tiny fraction of what they actually had.
And then this widow comes in with her two little coins.
Right. Practically nothing.
But Jesus points out she gave more than anyone else.
Because she gave sacrificially, it was everything.
It really makes you think, what does it cost us to be generous? Are we holding back?
That gets to the heart of what Jesus teaches about stewardship.
Oh,
He
yeah.
tells a couple of parables about money that really illustrate this.
Play talents, right?
Exactly. The parable of the talents in Matthew, and a similar one in Luke about minas.
Those are the ones where the master entrusts his servants with different sums of money.
Yeah. And when he comes back, he holds them accountable for what they did with it.
And the servant who just buries it to keep it safe, he's in big trouble.
It's tempting to think, well, at least he didn't lose anything, right?
Right.
But the parable pushes us further. Avoiding loss isn't enough.
So it's not enough to just be financially stable. We have to actually do something with it.
Yes. It's about stewardship. We're entrusted with resources, not just for ourselves, but for God's purposes.
So there's an element of, like, taking risks, not just playing it safe.
Exactly. Being resourceful, maybe even making mistakes along the way. Because ultimately, it's not our wealth we're managing.
It's his. Yeah. That's a little intimidating.
It's less about fear of messing up, more about stepping out in faith, using what you've been given.
Which, for that servant, meant investing it, right? He missed the chance to be part of something bigger.
Exactly. And that's something to reflect on. We all have talents, resources, even just time and energy that could be invested in something meaningful.
Not just financial investment, then.
Right.
Yeah.
Through relationships, your community, using your gifts for others.
So it's about figuring out, what are my talents? What has God entrusted to me specifically?
And how can I use that to bring about good?
Which is kind of exciting. It's not just about, like, pinching pennies and feeling bad about what you do have.
It's about being creative.
Yeah, finding ways to use it to actually make a difference. But what about that fear of not being good enough at it, messing it all up?
That's where that great verse comes in, about seeking first God's kingdom.
No.
Remember, Matthew 6.33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
It's like a promise that we don't need to have it all figured out.
Focus on the right priorities.
Yeah.
When we put God first, try to live according to his will, he'll equip us with the rest.
That is reassuring. Takes the pressure off.
Right.
And seeking God's kingdom, that's not some abstract thing, is it? It's about bringing it down here to earth.
Exactly. Reflecting his love, his compassion in our daily lives.
So less about grand gestures, more about the small, consistent things we do.
Every interaction, every choice can be an opportunity to further God's purposes.
It's like that butterfly effect, but with a spiritual dimension.
I like that. Our actions have ripple effects we might never fully see.
Wow. And that's empowering. We're not bystanders in this God story.
We're participants, given both the responsibility and the privilege of working with him.
It's a total shift, isn't it? From scarcity, got to hold on to what I've got, to abundance.
Trusting that God will provide.
And that he can do more with it if we let him. Really puts things in perspective, doesn't it? It's not about, like, Scrooge McDuck diving into a vault of coins.
Right.
It's about, how do our hearts line up with God's heart? And then how do we use what we've been given to make a difference?
And when you start there with that mindset,
yeah,
it changes your whole view of finances. It's not me and my money anymore. It's
right.
God, and how can I be part of his work?
So if our listener could take away just one thing from all of this, what would you want it to be?
I'd say, remember this. Your relationship with money, it's a mirror to your relationship with God.
Ooh.
It shows you your priorities, your fears, what you really believe about him.
It's like, here's your soul reflected back at you.
And that can be uncomfortable.
Oh, for sure.
Because it forces you to face some hard truths, but it's also incredibly freeing.
How so?
Because then you remember, you are not defined by your bank balance.
Right. Like we were saying before, your net worth isn't your self-worth.
Your worth comes from God. He made you. He loves you no matter what.
That takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
It should.
Yeah.
It's not about achieving some perfect financial picture.
It's about that alignment, hearts with God, letting that guide you.
Exactly. Every dollar, every resource, every talent, it's a gift meant to be used for his glory.
And that's a journey, right? Not like you arrive one day and you're done.
Exactly. And on that journey, you find so much joy, so much freedom, just by living generously, purposefully.
This has been amazing. Thanks for walking us through all this. I'm seeing things in a whole new light.
Glad to be here.
And to everyone listening, we hope this has gotten you thinking, maybe challenged some old ideas. Remember, it's not about having all the answers. It's about wrestling with the questions. Keep learning, keep growing, and let your faith guide you. Who knows what we'll be diving into next time. Until then, happy diving, everyone.